Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield & Company.
Are you really not a bug guy?
Bud?
Bug.
B-U-G. Oh, no, I freak out.
Really?
Yeah. It's like my main... Yeah, I'd rather have like anything happen to me than a bug.
It was like a little water bug.
That wasn't even that. It was a cricket, I think.
It's right over there. It's fine. We're at Cabana 7.
Yeah.
We're outdoor.
I mean, I just, you know.
It's like a wolf.
It's not, near me. I'd rather have a wolf attack me, honestly.
You would?
Yeah. I'm super weird.
What would you do?
Jump or, I don't know, I'd freak out.
No, I don't mean a cricket. I mean the wolf.
Oh, wolf.
I mean, we got some like, these cushions.
I'll be honest. I don't think, I think a wolf, I could talk about like Crocodile Dundee, the wolf. Like, I could be like, no, it's cool.
I don't.
And, I think wolves are nice.
I don't see you doing that.
I think I could. Not a bear. I mean, a bear, I'd, you know, either run or try to hide or something.
I think you're being absurd. Totally absurd.
You don't think wolves are nice?
No.
Really?
I mean, they look cute from a distance. I mean,
I feel like they were
hungry
just...
enough. Look at the size of you. There's a lot of stuff to get a big, big chunk of meat out of.
Maybe
me
they'll
too.
Think I'm a bear or something.
They'll be afraid.
Yeah, I'll be scared.
5 o'clock hour, Cofield & Company, Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. We're going to talk to one of our friends of the show, Teddy Covers, in a little bit. A lot to get to. A lot of international sports. I'll just say it. Olympic sports, as we call it on the, you know, for the college level. Olympic sports are on the way. A lot of sports we don't pay attention to on a regular basis. And I heard some conversations you had yesterday on your show, biggest show that we have on ESPN Las Vegas.
Huge.
The arena. And it caught my attention. But I got to call out someone. And we love the guy on this show. We call him Mr. Scoop over at Channel 8 in town, the venerable veteran Chris Matthews, who, if you'll remember, early in the week, I took some shots at the Panthers winning the Stanley Cup. And I said, you know what, Edmonton and Canada, the Oilers fans would have enjoyed it a lot more. And I said, yeah, the Panthers have like 20 to 45,000 fans in South Florida. It's just not going to be as coveted.
Sure.
I didn't do that as a Las Vegan, like trying to express like, not like us.
We love hockey.
Right? That's not what I was saying. There's a video of a couple of Panther players walking around the streets of Miami with the cup. And there's not really anyone on the streets. And then there's cars driving by. And Chris said, hey, Knights fans, can you imagine in Vegas, Carlson or Eichel walking the strip with a cup and nobody hardly notice? South Beach, different mindset. Do you want to address this?
I kind of agree with him a little bit.
Okay. No. I think from a passion standpoint, the Coyotes are dead.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to be whatever the stupid name is going to be in Utah, the hockey club. That could have happened in Phoenix. That was probably the lamest fan base in the league. I don't think the Panthers fan base is like a top-level fan base. It's probably towards the bottom. But I also have to point out, before we puff out our chest, and I don't even – did they do the parade yet for the Panthers? Because that's got to be really carefully crafted.
Oh, they're going to have to zoom in on that one.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We probably did have the smallest parade for a Stanley Cup winner in the last 10 years.
We did?
Dude, in the end
– I was there.
I know, but in the end – like, they'll say, like, oh, there's 300,000 people in Toshiba Plaza. Do you think 300,000 people can fit into Toshiba Plaza? It was a nice crowd.
Right.
There were probably 30,000, 40,000 people out there. That's nothing to sneeze at. This is a hard place to draw people to. Plus, you know what? I'm not doing this part. I'm banning myself.
Well, to be fair.
No, I just started to make excuses. I'm like, it's really hot. And I was like, Miami's worse.
No.
It's hot and humid. Like,
but.
We had a nice turnout.
Yeah.
But the route was like, get in and drive right in. Like,
no,
they didn't
right.
do, they're not doing the whole strip. Because you remember a couple years ago, I think it was the Chicago Sky won the title. I think that was the one where Diana Taurasi reportedly like broke a door, which I still love that she's that much of a sore loser.
It's like Guns N' Roses in a hotel.
Chicago Sky tried to do too long a route, and it was like dozens of people lining. You stretch them out. And honestly, when the Aces have done their parades,
yeah.
It's like a mini route. It's like, hey, let's pop on let's make a turn on Trop
sure.
and drive over to
yeah.
T-Mobile. Like,
yeah.
Because we know we're not going to have 500,000 people out there. But for someone here to go, oh, I mean, Can you imagine if Eichel and whoever Carlson were walking the strip? It, you know what? There might be more people looking, like, not thinking it's like fake players and a fake cup, and more people looking for pictures with Batman.
Well, yeah.
Like, let's be realistic. And I'm not saying we're a bad sports city, but give me a break. Like, oh, look, we're going to wag our finger at the Panther fans and their passion.
The guy's taking a picture with Bumblebee. The guy's just walking right by. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though, is it's the strip. So I think it's kind of an unfair comparison.
That, too. You know, there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, I mean, they're not here to, they don't care. And plus, I went to the thing. You had to park at a tram, take a tram to the thing, walk through an entire casino, go out just to get there. So I don't think it's – I mean, in Miami, you just walk up on – you know, park somewhere and walk right up. So I don't think it's the same. But
I think we have to be careful about taking shots at others. And, again, this goes back to my constant theme on the show. Like, we know what disrespect feels like. Like, it's my whole take on I don't beat up on – I'm looking down, right, as if it's actually down. I don't beat up on, like, Gen Zers and – as a Gen Xer, because you know what? When I look up and I'm like, those boomers, I didn't like when they looked down on me. And guess what? Guess who got the your city sucks as a hockey city last year? We did.
Right.
So how dare? Now we're like, oh, we're gonna laugh in Florida. Like, we got laughed at last year.
I'll tell you, though.
Don't treat others like that, you know?
I was really surprised, though, and I would never have thought this until I went to the parade, how many people from out of town were Knights fans. Like, that were, you know, that flew in or something. And I guess it's easy because, you know, you get to go to Vegas anyway, so why not? But, man, there was a lot of people with Knight jerseys that I interviewed because I was doing these stupid interviews, you know, that I do. And they were telling me where they were from. And it was like, you know, the South, East Coast, like all over the place.
Hey, Griffin, do me a favor. You're the head of the Vest research crew. Get me a date or a day or a time on the Panthers parade. I want to see when that's coming up. By the way, you can text in any reaction to the show. Finley Kia text line, 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. So Greg does the arena, 2 to 3 on Wednesdays. Good debate show. It's like a 12-man show, by the way. It's just what an ensemble. By the way, what an idea to have an ensemble. You had a question. I think this was the question yesterday about which – you guys were throwing this. Which Olympic sport are you most fired up to watch?
Yeah.
So you said men's basketball.
Mine was men's basketball was first. Second, I'm interested in the flag football just to see how it's different and how they play and what the athletes look like. And I just want to see it.
I forgot that was in.
Yeah.
What if we don't win?
Well, I mean, we're going to. But if we don't.
Do we then go to the NFL players? Do we go men's basketball route? We're like, that's it. We didn't win.
Well, you know, NFL,
come on in.
I think
I heard Clay.
Yeah.
Clay was like, well, they're kind of different players. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't even know how many players are on a flag football field. Is it 7-on-7? What is
I don't know.
5-on-5?
I'm assuming. I honestly don't know. That's why I want to watch to see. I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, you know, Clay made kind of a good point, though, because maybe if you're playing 7-on-7, a different kind of body might be better than a, you know, you don't need a Vince Wolfork playing flag football.
Right, but I mean, like, offensive players, people, they're going to be like, hey, you probably don't want Justin Jefferson.
Oh, no, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, yeah.
Like, do we do, if we lose.
A.J. Brown's going to, like, sun somebody in these games if they have him on there. But, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised, honestly, a couple of them maybe retire guys. Like, T.O. could probably play.
That would be fascinating.
You know?
I hadn't thought of it. That's not one of my top sports, though.
Yeah.
This show has always been fascinated by handball. Because it's just another ball and net sport.
Yeah. It's a big Northeast sport, too.
But it's people just running around.
Yeah.
Northeast. Really?
Yeah. All Italian guys? Maybe it's an Italian thing. I don't know. But my dad and his friends used to always, hey, let's go play some handball. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They go play at this court. Boom, boom.
You're talking bocce?
Nah, you hit it with your hand, right? Like a handball, right? Like a racquetball with a hand?
I might have the wrong sport. I thought there was another sport where they're throwing the ball around and running.
And
trying to throw it into a net. Not it's like lacrosse without the stick.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that is. Oh, I'm thinking.
I need to watch every net and ball sport.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one. It sounds like disc golf a little bit, though.
Is that in the Olympics?
I don't think so. I'm just saying it sounds like it.
My answer would be one, women's basketball. Because I want to watch the games, and I also want to follow what's happening around it.
Yeah,
I think 30% of sports fans are going to root against Team USA because Caitlin Clark's not on the team. Dude, we've already seen it happen with the men's team.
Yeah, it's true.
Where, like, a lot of people, they weaponized it. You know, they didn't like early 2000s basketball. You know, the dress code, they didn't like the way guys dressed. And Allen Iverson's the leader of the team.
Yeah.
Melo, like, they were two of the best players. Yeah. But we flopped for a few years until we started building teams again instead of all-star teams. But the women's team, I think there are a lot of people out there who are really pissed. They don't like a lot of the players in the WNBA. They love Caitlin Clark. She's not on the team. They don't like Diana Taurasi. They don't like the answers as to why Clark's not on the team, or in my case, why Reese isn't on the team. And people are going to root against him. So now here's the thing. I don't know if the games will be close.
That's the point. But if the games were going to be closer, like, because the Olympics for the men's basketball, there is a chance they could lose.
Oh, I mean, now, going back to that era I mentioned,
right,
they couldn't win. Now, what's happened is that's interesting is because, especially a place like Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, was war-torn and split up.
Sure.
Like, there were formerly nations. You know, you could put together a Soviet team, and it was, like, unbelievable.
Right.
But now everything's split up.
Yeah, the women's team's going to win by 100, though, in, like, in every game. It's not even going to be close.
Japan lost 90-75 in the gold medal game in 2020. It was more of, like, an 18-point game in the fourth.
But I think
it's
changed.
My point is, things narrow as we spread basketball around the world.
Right.
Other teams get better. I don't know if you heard us talking about there's a Florida Gator player from Canada, Olivier Rioux, who he was at IMG, like legit, you know, basketball factory, football factory, prep school, commits to Florida. A lot of people wanted him. 7'9", 290.
Damn.
Dude, he can run.
Yeah.
And he's actually kind of like, when he stands in front of the rim, he doesn't have to jump to dunk.
Right.
So you can see him going against, in camps.
Yeah.
AAU, like, kids are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". And he's just like, tip, 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 tip. Like, they can't, like, you have to explosively jump multiple times. He just reaches up. So he's going to be really interesting to follow.
Reminds me of Yao Ming.
But think about it, right?
Yeah.
And Yao was very skilled at 7'5".
It's amazing. But he just was injured.
Which is always the question when guys get that big.
Right.
So this kid can run. He can move. There was a viral video the other day of a Chinese woman. Now think about how big 7'9 is with men.
Sure.
Right? Brittany Griner is essentially like Yao. Like 6'8 is, I would say, what's the equivalent? 7'2 or 3 as a
guy?
Right,
yeah.
She's maybe 7'5 or 7'6. She's gigantic. There's a Chinese woman who's 7'5. Dude, you have to watch it. Because she's, 7'5 for a woman is so tall. And it was the same thing as this Olivier Rioux guy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think she can dunk at 7'5.
How's that possible?
I mean, the width of this laptop, that's her vertical.
But no, but her arms alone, I mean, does she have T-Rex arms or something? Because you could just reach up and then.
I think she's a little short of being able to dunk. Wow. I haven't seen every video of her. But just she can run up and down the floor pretty well. And just her standing in the lane, tip, 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 tip.
Why does that never happen in America, by the way?
That's the future, man.
Yeah, but not here.
That's who's going to take us down. We don't have any 7'5 women.
That's what I'm saying. You think they're doing something over there? And every once in a while, a dude pops out that's like 8'9" or something, and like they're just
what an outrageous rumor that one of these countries. I guess in a system you could, guess you could basically practice like state sanctioned breeding and like, hey, we need a super giant center or centers,
right.
So we're only going to let women over 6'6" procreate with our dudes who are over 7 foot,
right?
And it's just a project, and then here's 7'5" girl.
Dude, they have a credit system over there where, like, people are rated by, like, their person, you know? Like, you're an 80%, and then another guy's, like, a 90%, or, you know, they have a credit rating over there
Chinese
humans. So.
Chinese Greg Salerno in the multiverse. Rating of 23.
I mean, yeah.
Never allowed to procreate.
Yeah.
Cofield.
You know, it's funny the universe did that anyway. I can't.
Chinese Cofield.
Yeah.
27.
I would say you're way higher than me. If I'm a 23, you're at least a 33.
Can't really hold a job of any earnings. Not allowed to marry. Only allowed to be around a woman maybe once a year.
Can ride the subway once a week. That's it.
Sorry, man. You're too chubby. You got to walk. Yeah, but it's 11 miles to work. Well, you'll get thinner.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The mind of Greg. I'm going to blame that all on you. How they created a 7'5". No one created a 7. Maybe they did. I don't know.
I mean, look. Who knows?
Women's basketball, very much into that. And I don't want to be a sicko, but I think you know what I mean. The outfits alone and incredible athleticism. But women's beach volleyball.
Oh, it's by far the best sport. Yes.
Chef's
kiss. Oh, yes. I agree.
Are we just going to sit here and
grow? Well, I don't want to say anything creepy, so, just, you know, yeah.
It is great.
Yeah.
And you know what? Do you play any volleyball ever?
When I was younger, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I liked it.
You're like explosive leaper spiker?
No,
Or are you dig and set guy?
I was always more of a long, like I could jump longer than I can high. Like, so.
What sport is that good for aside from long jump?
Maybe football for like a short space. Or
baseball trying to
steal second base on three steps.
Wait, you're a long strider or a long jumper?
I'm a long both. I stride long too.
What?
I have long legs, man.
How do you know that?
I don't know. Because I just do.
So what are you like? What are you like, a 40, 52 pants?
Oh, now?
Because I'm like a 38, 22.
Yeah, no, I've got to be at least.
By the way, those were both funny, you know? Like a 40, 50, just giant waist with this, just like your torso.
Well, I thought that was backwards. Isn't 40 the waist?
Yes, that was the point.
But how's your 52?
Like your legs are like a 50.
Yeah, no, they're probably
that's
like,
why my 38, 22 is like.
I'm saying I probably.
It's basically that, you ever see the guy, Big Ed?
Yeah,
the guy with no neck? That's him.
I think a few months ago, I was probably like a 58, 13. And
okay, now you're playing along
now. Now I don't know, I'd have to go check, but I definitely have to wear a belt now.
On the arena, you said there was a Lotus Mount Rushmore of what?
Okay, here's the thing. First of all, I made the question wrong. I wrote it wrong because I speak wrong too, and I thought that they were going to know what I was saying. I meant like a Mount Rushmore, people you hang out with at work, you know, of like, you know, who your
that
favorite people
are. That's not at all how it came across.
I know. So then when they started saying theirs, because I put, like, you know, Clay, because me and Clay have hung out before, and I put, you know, like, Danny on there. And then they were putting people on that, like, used to work here and people that still work here. Like, oh, well, this guy's done radio for this long. And I'm like, no,
they did
what
a radio Mount Rushmore. Yeah. You were doing a hanging out month.
Yeah, I was doing, like, guys I like Mount Rushmore. And I was thinking in my head that me and you just, like, a couple days ago, we're talking about how we never really hung out.
No.
So when it came to you, they were like, well, what about Cofield? Because you should probably mention Cofield because you do Cofield and Company. And I said, oh, no, not even close.
Nah, that's so now, because they understand it one way.
Well, yeah. So then.
By the way, I at Lotus Broadcasting,
yeah,
I'm not on a Mount Rushmore of almost anyone in terms of hanging out.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I wouldn't take offense to that.
No, but then I immediately said, just kidding anyway. After I said that, I was like, I'm just kidding. So then they take it and they cut that part off for us. I'm just kidding.
Yep.
And they make it the recycler for the week.
That's the promo. I love it. Good.
So.
Good. Stir the pot.
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow's the last show for Salerno on Cofield and Company. We have, our building is pretty fascinating. We do have cliques that do really hang out with each other.
Yeah, well, it's funny because you would think it'd be people that work together. It's never people that work together, ever. It's always people that work in other places. I think maybe we get tired of each other at work or something, so they don't hang out together.
I think with the sports department, and by the way, my leg is going to break here. I got to move this table. No, I think in sports, hanging out is a little more difficult unless you're going to the same games.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us are covering games.
And that makes sense.
We're not complaining.
Sure.
But, like, yeah, someone asked me about Griffin had asked me about you, and like, oh, you guys have pretty good chemistry. Like, how long do you know each other? How much do you talk? I'm like, I've never talked to Greg before the last 4 weeks. He didn't know who the hell I am.
There was
he
a time.
Knows me. Other people are like, oh, you must hang out. Oh, you know, good chemistry. Adam Hill and you have been doing shows together forever. Like, you must hang out all the time. I'm like, I don't know, once every 4 months. He's busy.
Yeah, but there was probably a time where you did hang out before.
Yeah, there was in the past a little bit more.
Yeah.
A little bit more. When he had more free time than I did. And now we both travel a lot. Again, I'm not complaining. These are not bad things.
Sure.
But, yeah, I look around the building sometimes. Like, I'll give you a story. And I think they thought I was being creepy. There was a Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And for Tony Bonici and Jesse Leeds going in.
Sure.
And I didn't hang out with the table 18, as I know it, at the Lotus Broadcasting table. I was hanging on the back, and I texted. It was almost like I'm going to text up front. Be like, hey, where are you guys going after? You know, it's a big night, Tony,
right.
Jesse. And no one answered. I got one answer, and it was like, you know, it's nah, I got to go home. And then a follow-up, and I'm like, well, I'm hanging out over at this bar. And it was nothing. Which might say a lot more about me than anything else.
Well, it's funny because there was a time.
I was rocking and rolling. I'm like, this is a great night for Tony and Jesse. Lotus Broadcast. Let's all go hang out. And they're like, not with you. Oops.
There was a time maybe like 7 or 8 years ago where I thought that we almost were going to hang out or something maybe for a minute.
I don't remember that.
I know. I know you don't. But I was doing a remote and you came up and we talked for a minute and then we like, I don't know. We had each other's phone numbers or something and then it just never happened. But it's not your fault.
I feel bad.
No, it's not your fault at all because I'm the same way. And like I just thought about it. I didn't think about it till recently. But
okay. Well, I'd like to say we'll do it, but we probably won't.
No, probably not.
I'll draw this comparison to, I don't think Paul George is a, I think Paul George is a Cofield-like figure in the NBA. I don't think people want to hang out with him. I don't know what he wants to do.
Yeah.
I don't know who wants him. I the vibe I get, and we had a Philly guy in the other day, is one, he ain't a Philly guy, like the host was. But Paul George is not a Philly, a Boston, a New York.
Right.
Probably not a Cleveland. I think he's either going to stay somewhere on the West Coast. BBW, Big Brian Windhorst, said, I'm not so sure Paul George really wants to leave the West Coast, and that I think that was something Philly kind of ran into when they kicked the tires there.
Yeah.
I also, my feeling is Paul George might land with a team that's a upward trajectory team because they're like, hey, we need a guy.
Right.
So he might be willing to take Rockets or Magic money. Like, not a guaranteed winner, but I'm getting paid. And you know what? If I play 55 games, there's really no, I don't think the Magic have the most passionate fan base. I don't know that the Rockets do either.
Right.
It's like, hey, we got Paul George. That's pretty cool. But, like, you suck. We're not winning a title. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Loser, you have no heart. I don't think he wants to go somewhere like that.
Well, that's why I was, because I saw some rumors about the Warriors. But then you're thrusting him right into a win or go home type of situation. And I don't know if he'll be able to handle that. I do think, basketball-wise, he'd be very complimentary. You know, a nice piece with Curry and all. But I just, you're right. I don't think that he can handle a situation like that. It has to be like Indiana was perfect for him. You know, something like that I think would be great.
By the way, I'm not sure that Indiana would be perfect for him now.
Yeah,
I think there's high expectations.
Yeah.
And if he went in there and screwed up chemistry and, you know, some of their lead dog, they have really good players. I mean, Halliburton and Siakam are damn good players. And when Mathurin's back and healthy, I mean, if he's of right mind and he's driven and he can stay healthy, he's a really good player. But he could be the scapegoat that fans look at after, you know, one poor season and be like, dude, you ruined it.
Yeah, it's like he's – well, when he said the playoff P, I feel like everybody's just been holding that against him forever.
That was a mistake.
It really was.
That was a really bad mistake. 364-1100, 364-1100. Let's do a giveaway. We've got another set of Aviators tickets. Aviators this weekend are taking on the Sacramento River Cats. Friday night is Jersey night. Saturday night is Cap night. We've got Saturday night tickets. You can get your tickets at AviatorsLV.com or with us right now. Caller 7 364 1100. Aviators in town against Sacramento, 364 1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Circa Las Vegas Stadium Swim, adjacent to Circa Sports. Inside, we talked to one of the slap fighters. Man, oh man, sports has changed. Gambling options have changed over the years. You can bet slap here at Circa Sports. So I want to talk a little sports gambling and history of Vegas. And with all these spots we do, I definitely want to talk about the impact of being a radio host, sports talk host in Las Vegas. There's a rich history here. And we were talking about Mount Rushmore. One of the guys who's on the Mount Rushmore is absolutely Dave Koken. And I don't know if people saw it the other day, but, you know, Dave has been sick for a while. It wasn't out publicly, you know, except for a few of his friends. And he talked on Facebook and Twitter about, hey, you know, things are rough right now. I don't have a long time left. And, man, the outpouring on social media was incredible. So many well-wishers, good friends, acquaintances, and from all different parts of the sports world, tons of listeners. And I know one of his good friends who's worked with him off and on over the years is Teddy Covers. And Teddy was a mainstay on Lotus Broadcasting shows for a long time. And Ted Savrancy's got with Cofield and Company. Teddy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, Steve. How about yourself?
I'm good. You know, these are not easy circumstances. And just for the audience, Dave's here. Like, Dave is still good. But this is one of those rare opportunities where Dave sent out his prognosis. And I was thinking, you know what? We need to talk about Dave Koken while he's here so maybe you can hear it and see it. So I thought it was important to reach out to you because I know you go way back with Dave. So I hope you're okay. You know, I feel bad for everyone to bring it on. I don't want to trivialize this and make everyone speak about something that is not pleasant. But you doing okay?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're all going to get there. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line is, you know, you're born on this earth with a death sentence. And unfortunately, Dave has caught up with him. Now, he's still here. You talked about it, you know, at Dave Koken on Twitter. he can't really talk at this stage, but Dave can most assuredly read. His brain works perfectly well, and he appreciates all the messages. He'll be getting an outpouring of support, as he deserves, as a guy who legitimately, you know, you talk about the Mount Rushmore of sports broadcasters in town, Dave's on it, you know? I mean, who do you put? Dave, Lee, Pete? That's probably my top two, and well, we can argue about who the rest of them.
That was absolutely the start, and, you know, Lee gave him some early opportunities. On the gambling front, Teddy, when did you first become aware of Dave, and then when did you know him locally?
So Dave, when I first moved, I moved to Vegas in 1998, and Dave was one of the establishment handicappers when I came out here. He was someone who I didn't want to like. I came out here with a big chip on my shoulder. If you knew me the first 5-10 years I was in this town, you're probably aware of that. But, you know, I came out here, and everyone who's ever done anything has done it wrong, and I'm going to show you guys how to sports bet. And Dave was like, yeah, okay, dude. Settle down, Beavis. you know, but with my attitude, Dave could have easily brushed me off. He could have easily been, you know, all right, this guy's a jerk. But no, the very first time, I remember specifically the very first time I met Dave Koch, and I sat down with him and had the head lunch with him. We did, it was called the Naked Lunch, and we did it at the Spearmint Rhino. Yep. And it was Steve Williams, Ballpark Frank, Dave Koken, and then I was the guest.
Wow.
And after the show, Dave's like, yeah, let's sit down, let's have some lunch. Let's get some lunch. And he was as friendly and personable as could be from the first time I met him. Yep. And he's that way with everyone that knows him. Everyone that met Dave has the exact same things to say about him. He's just a good guy.
He's the king on radio. He loved doing remotes. He was comfortable anywhere. He's got a rich boxing background. We're you know, in the coming days, we're going to talk to some boxing people because he was a really big part of boxing in Las Vegas. And he was one of those guys. The funny thing is, when you meet Dave, he can be really brash, and he's confident, and he will tell you if you're wrong, and he'll do that on radio. And if you're a little thin-skinned, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have to learn how to deal with it. But ultimately, if you could talk a little bit and speak and you're well-rounded, Dave would talk to you about anything. And that what I found over the years, not only doing a show with him but off the air and hanging out at remotes with him, is that this guy had done everything, had a take on everything, had so much experience. His stories from back in Providence are legendary. His stories of his early times in Vegas were awesome. You know, as you talked to him, were you surprised? Just like his wealth of knowledge, and it didn't have to be a deep conversation about sports.
No, again, I wanted him to be a jerk. I wanted to be someone I didn't like, you know, and the whole, you know, I came out here, I attacked a Feist organization, and he was with that, and Scott Spicer was with that, who's another guy who I turned out to, you know, absolutely adore and be the, you know, one of the best human beings that I know. I mean, there were a lot of guys that early on, I didn't like the people they were affiliated with, I didn't like the boiler room, I didn't like some of the stuff that was going on, and I took it out on them personally. And, I mean, Koken, again, he could have easily responded to me very negatively, and instead, he was nothing but positive, and positive in all kinds of circumstances. Hey, Dave, I'm struggling right now. What should I do? He's there with an answer. Hey, Dave, my cat's coughing up hairballs. What do I do? Dave's got an answer. You know, he was a very well-rounded individual, not someone that's just a very well-rounded individual, not someone that's just all about sports.
Teddy Covers, legendary handicapper around Las Vegas, and we're talking about Dave Koken, who sent out a message a couple days ago on social media that he's not doing well. His time is not, real long coming up. We're all rooting for him. He's fought this for a year plus, so he's done well. And as Teddy said earlier, can't communicate like he used to, but he's very sharp. He's still posting all over Twitter and Facebook his takes. By the way, you slipped in a cat mention. Are you a cat guy?
Yeah, I'm a cat guy.
So
that was one of the things that me and him got along with. We come over. Every time we have a barbecue, we come over and hang out with my cat.
Yeah. I texted him the other day, and I was like, dude, I appreciate the fact that we're both crazy cat guys.
yeah, we're not. It's one of those things that you're not supposed to say out loud, but I don't care.
I don't care.
We're all cat guys. It is what it is.
I don't care either. Over the years as a listener, what did you appreciate about Dave as a talk show host?
Well, I mean, so Dave's ability, one of the things I used to love, we would do a 1-hour show in the afternoon. And over the course of that hour, all right, you'd get Dave's takes on basically every game. You'd get an odds maker's take on where the money's come in every game. And it was quick. It was quick hitters. It was really good information. Dave And, I mean, dating back to his Stardust line tenure, which was, I mean, legitimately legendary. He had one of the greatest seasons of all time that anyone's ever had ever. I think it was, I forget if it was 2000 or 2001. You know, it might have even been 99. But he had one of these years at the Stardust line where he gave out three picks again right when the lines opened. And the guy hit like 80% for the season. It was insane. So his ability to break down games, and to this day, I respect Dave's opinion on, you know, certainly when it comes to MLB, college football, the sports that he loved. Dave's opinion is second to none, second to few. I mean, he's a sharp dude. But his ability on air, both as, you know, the one to have his dry personality and his wit come out, which I always liked, but two, to be able to get through a whole slate of games and give out valuable info on a bunch of them in a relatively short amount of time, I found that to be an extraordinary skill.
Talking to Teddy Covers, some stories about our buddy Dave Koken, one of the legends here at ESPN Las Vegas, and Teddy hinted at, mentioned, going back from a history standpoint, this wasn't a town that had an all-sports radio station, you know, 30 years ago. That still wasn't spread across the country. You know, the first station that went 24-7, did all sports, was, what, 1987 with WFAN. So Lee Pete and at times Jim Brown and Seed Williams and Koken were around, and at the time they were on a 50,000-watt station. So it not only was local sports talk and, you know, and designed for the local audience, a gambling audience, but it was regionally, it was a 50,000-watt station. So, Teddy, when you heard that station, or, you know, if you were ever on it over the years, like, the spread was really the West region.
Oh, yeah. I did Stardust Line for many years before the dust was imploded in one of the first, in one of the worst financial decisions for Boyd Gaming that we can think of. Nonetheless, the Stardust show, I mean, the Stardust Line was an extraordinary show. I mean, it really was back in the day, every weekday with John Kelly hosting, and then the weekend evenings, Friday, they would host the Stardust, they would host the contest on Friday nights. We'd have a two-hour show Saturday and a two-hour show Sunday. Koken did the Sunday show. I did the Saturday show. I had a variety of, but Steve Williams was always there with me back in the day. You know, Mike Campanella I did it with for a time. Jorge Gonzalez I did it with for a time. There are a bunch of guys on the Saturday night show that I did for years. But, I mean, the Stardust line with the 50,000-watt reach, that was the sports betting radio show, certainly on the West Coast, for the better part of, what, a decade and a half. And, you know, obviously things change over time. But that 50,000-watt behemoth, I mean, we'd get callers from Seattle, you know, which – you know, they were listening live, which, again, you know, in the internet era, it doesn't seem like that big a deal. But back in the day, the reach that show had, the Stardust line, was literally second to none.
Teddy Covers with us. I got to ask you a couple of current gambling theme storyline questions. One, I thought what happened the last 4 days or so with Bronny James and betting the draft was pure insanity. I'm reading after the first round yesterday, like, there was a minus 160 number on him going yes to the Lakers at 17. There was a boatload of money. There was a guy reported to have put $5,000 on Bronny James to be the number one pick. Then my partner Greg comes in and he's patting himself on the back like, I told you, Lakers at 55. I'm like, well, that was kind of the favorite. I mean, you've been watching this a long time. Because sports gambling has become so viral and popular stories can affect the way people bet, storylines can affect the way people bet, there are bettable situations now where you're like, this is lunacy. I have to bet against this if I have the option.
So one of the things that's really interesting, when you think about the betting marketplace, all right, when it comes to size and totals and first half across sports, all that is algorithmically derived. All right, there's databases you go through, you know, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the game started, it doesn't matter. The numbers, not to say they're cemented, but there's a formula for coming up with those numbers, and the computers can spit out a decent number, and then the betting markets and then pop it into place, or the odds makers can put it in the right place. When it comes to future markets or draft betting markets or MVP, you know, Mike Trophy markets, wherever you want to go, there is nothing like that. There is no algorithm for the bookmakers to put up numbers. So it's all opinion, and you'll see dramatic differences from one book to the next in these situations. as the markets get pounded in the States into shape. And you'll also see what could be considered to be some bad numbers. You know, Bronny James at 55 to L.A., sure, sounds like a plan. But Bronny James at number one, I'd have booked that all day long if I'd had a license.
Free money.
Teddy, for people, because, you know, Vegas is a real transient town, so a lot of people are always new coming in, new to gambling. There's always this thing, and you talk about an algorithm. How much of it is based on what you what they actually think is going to happen versus what they think people are going to bet?
So that's a really broad question. the answer is, you know, a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
Right.
You're talking about how bookmakers are going to put a number together, okay, there's, you know, NFL week one numbers or NFL week whatever number you want to talk about, tomorrow's baseball number, doesn't matter. The computer formula is going to spit out a number, all right, based on all the data. The odds makers are going to take that data and say, based for our clientele, based on the current shape of the market, let's slightly adjust it this way, and then that'll be their opening number, and then the markets move it from there. So certainly there's a lot of hard math, a lot of algos in there, but there's also the human element of the odds maker and the bookmaker for any particular property, knowing their audience and adjusting the line off of the algorithm number into something that they think is likely to attract more two-way action.
Teddy, tell the Vegas audience where they can most easily find your stuff. Now, I did see you the other day doing a video on Dave Kokin with the Prez, so what's the best spots?
Yeah, I mean, you find me online, wagertalk.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Teddy_covers.
Beautiful. Late notice, I appreciate you stepping up and pitching in here, and we're all rooting for Dave to keep chugging along. Thank you so much.
Hey, pleasure's mine. And again, send Dave all the all the well wishes you can at Dave Kokin on Twitter.
There he is, Ted Savransky. So I thought he'd been here longer. Actually, he's been here since '98.
Yeah,
I forget. I thought he was here before I was. I got here in late '96, and we're gonna have more conversations like that. But like from all different realms, because Dave touched a lot of different people. I don't think he realized that. And then when his social media went up, and it was just like outpouring of people. He made a real impression with folks. You know, you do a daily radio show, and it's kind of routine.
Sure.
And then, you find out later, like, oh, like, there's some – people were sending me drops that we pulled from him.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Just, like, that's stuff. Crazy. And that stuff he had said I was with Dave from, like, 2008 to 12.
Sure.
I mean, the beginning of that is, what, 16 years ago, and people were like, I love that drop.
Yeah.
I love when Dave said that.
Yeah, you know, I did comp for a long time. Obviously, this was kind of like a firewall in between, like, sports and, you know, FM, AM. But I would always think of him as like a bristly guy just because of his personality
of course,
on air.
Yes.
But then whenever I see him in like the break room or something, he's the nicest guy in the world. He's like so nice to me, always polite, everything. So I feel really bad. I stayed out of it a little bit because, you know, I don't know him as well as you guys do, but I still feel awful about the whole
thing. Well, tomorrow the tentative plan is, and I'm going to hunt down his first co-host on – that's not right. One of his co-hosts on ESPN Las Vegas. Actually, the guy who was before me. So he'll be coming in, and then we'll do a bunch of spots next week. And then I do have to go back to our vast archives, and we'll have to get some older Dave Kokin stuff. So for people, you know, people who are listening now, they're like, "Who is this Kokin guy?"
Yeah,
well, he's one of the backbones of the radio station here, and we've only as a group we've been doing sports talk like with a good number of local shows. Late 90s, early 2000s. So, like, the history's not quite as old as, you know, L.A. or Chicago or Philly or New York. But there's been a good crew here over the years, and Dave is absolutely the guy that the programs are built around. He was always sort of that anchor of the broadcast.
Somehow Jared, who runs the board on the arena, he found these, like, old raps that he would just talk out the rap. Yeah. Like, he would read the lyrics or whatever. Yeah. And, man, it was great. We played some of those yesterday.
He's a funny guy, and he can be self-deprecating.
Sure.
More conversation about Dave Kokin coming up. In the next week plus, we're live here at Stadium Swim. Don't forget, 143-foot screen. Copa America is on here and inside at Circa Sports. We'll get you some soccer score updates. And we haven't looked at the baseball board all day. I see on the big screen.
Oh, Yankees are losing again. That's why I was sitting here mad watching.
Well, you know what? I know when Salerno was going to explode over something, I generally try to kind of push it towards the back end. So grab bag is on the way. Look out.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Oh, mama! I just want to make sure everyone knows out there as we honor Dave Kokin. Dave's with us. You know, he's trucking along. He sent out a message the other day. So, you know, he's had health struggles. I did a show with Dave on ESPN Las Vegas for like 4 years. Dave was on without me for years on ESPN Las Vegas before our combo. He was on after. I don't want to trivialize any of this. It's a serious deal. People are very sad. But we're just trying to kind of bring, like, you know, good memory stories with Dave. Also introduce people to kind of the entirety of Dave Kokin with different guests. So I just want to make sure I get home after these things and I'm like, I don't want people thinking like, yay, let's have a part. Like, that's not it.
Right.
Right. I choose to sort of, when you can, you celebrate what a person has done, you know, in terms of a legacy. And Greg's been with us on Lotus Broadcasting for 8 years, so I was just catching you up on some of the legendary people who've done stuff with us and good stories and drama. Radio stations are like a lot of workplaces. There's different departments. There's rivalries. There's different goals. There's working together. There's
a lot of egos.
Against each other. There's incredible egos.
Yeah.
And sports talk radio for years has been mostly male dominated. You need an ego to do this. You need an ego to battle on topics. So it's like a testosterone driven. And I will tell you, our staff was pretty aggressive back in the day, but like, if there was rankings of you know, top 30 aggressive staffs in sports talk radio, we might have been like 29. Because I worked with enough people. There are places where like fights, suspensions,
sure.
You know, it, like, people are crazy, man, in this realm. And now you see it. Now you see it. Now you got like the freaking podcast coming in.
Yeah.
People are able to pull videos. They have direct contact with you. I think this is a glory era. Because in the past, you could be a tough talker and guy with hard takes, women with tough takes, and you'd write, and it would be in the paper, or you'd say it on air, and it would disappear into the ether. Now people can give you feedback in real time, and you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, now there's, like, Twitter.
Come at me now.
There's Twitter accounts dedicated to cold takes now, you know, like really popular ones. So if you say something wrong and you're a popular guy, it's going out there for sure.
They'll never hear people like erroneously place Bronny James on the wrong team in the second round of the draft. That'll never happen. Get in the bag with the grab bag, please.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
You asked me before the show, am I a sushi guy?
Yeah.
The answer is yes, but I'm very low grade sushi. Sushi for me is just the conduit to slap a bunch of soy sauce and wasabi on it.
Well, yeah.
I'm not truly a seafood person.
So
when they start getting like real exotic, or there's a bunch of sauces, you know, I went out late night sushi last night. It was like $6.50 for a roll. Like, for me, like $12 for a roll is the most, but I understand people are connoisseurs.
Sure.
So is there some like crazy high level sushi place coming?
There's a place on the strip that's supposedly going to have like, you know, like wine tasting. It's like sushi tasting, but there's 17 courses. So you're really eating a couple, few rolls, you know, by just sitting there doing this. And it sounds like something I would like to do. Now I'm kind of like you though. First of all, I'm allergic to tuna, so if it has tuna in it, I can't eat it anyway.
That's a disaster.
I know. But the crab, shrimp, I love it. But, I mean, I'm not into the sushi with, like, a big chunk of fish on top of it, you know, or that kind of stuff either. I'm in more to the rolls than anything.
Okay. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I could say a lot on that one, but I didn't want to waste any more time getting to tapping into your angst. Do you really get this mad about your Yankees in the middle of the season when they, I don't know, until, like, the last five games they're out to like a 52-26 start? What's going on now?
Well, first of all, they've lost four series in a row, so it's not just five games. They suck. They do this every single time.
They suck.
They always think they're going to be good. You know, you always think they're going to be great. They're on this, like, you know, tear, and then it's always the pitching that sucks and winds up. They're blaming it all on Gleyber Torres, who's batting .215.
I saw.
They're right now losing 8-2 to the Toronto Blue Jays. How about some pitching? You suck. Makes you so mad, dude. And then they get to the playoffs.
There we go.
And even if they're on a run, they'll go into the ball. Oh, the hot team's going to win it, right? They're having a great September. Then they go into October, can't score one run in like four games. I hate it. That's why I don't watch baseball as much anymore.
I don't want to be voice of reason, but I did say this about 2 weeks ago where it's like, I know the Dodgers are going to get help where they need help. The Yankees, don't be fooled by their first half. Because we all know watching it that Carlos Rodon and Louis Heal weren't what they were showing, and Rodon's gotten destroyed back-to-back games. Today was 5 innings, 10 hits, 8 runs.
I mean,
Heal got wrecked yesterday. He got wrecked even worse the last time around. I mean, pitchers, they're going to return to kind of their median level. So
yeah, but like,
they shouldn't be resting on their laurels. Yankees have all the money in the world.
Your team's worth 47. You could buy Rhode Island with the Yankees if you wanted to. Get a couple players. Get a pitcher that can pitch. How about that? Sounds great.
thanks to Stadium Swim. Someone needs to slap Greg Salerno. Where's the crazy Hawaiian? Slap him around a little bit. Calm him down. Thanks to Circa Las Vegas. Mateo, great job. See you, Griffin.